where Shelton comes for news and talk. The Lisa Wexler Show, now on Southern Connecticut's news and information leader, WICC 600.
I was fascinated to read not too long ago about a food pharmacy, pharmacy spelled with an F, like farmacia, instead of a PH as we spell it in English, with the idea that Hartford Health is apparently promoting this concept of a curated kind of supermarket, doubling as a pharmacy, where the foods are healthy for you, and somehow the word prescription is in the mix. And I don't really understand it. So Greg Jones, who's the VP of Community Health and Engagement at Hartford Healthcare, is on right now to explain it to us. Greg Jones, hello and welcome to the show today. Hi. Greg, are you there? Greg?
I'm here.
Okay, good. I can hear you now. Hello,
can you hear me?
Hello.
Good.
Yes, now
sorry
I can. Okay, so Greg, I want to understand what this is because there's somehow something going on with Hartford Healthcare, which we know to be a health provider, and food as medicine, and some kind of pilot thing that's going on in a 1,000 square foot space that you're calling food pharmacy. So explain, is this not a supermarket? What is this food pharmacy?
Good deal. Thank you for asking. And you're right. There is something going on at Hartford Healthcare, as we like to say, where every patient, every person, and every clinician matters. So now that I've got that plug out of the way, let's talk about the food pharmacy and the pharmacia, as you mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
It is just that. It is, if you can think of this as your neighborhood grocery store's produce section. However, the difference and the special sauce, if I may add, it's on a hospital campus, so we get to engage with patients right on site.
Oh.
It also has clinical referrals. That's the prescription part, small p that you mentioned earlier, where we get clinicians in some of our clinics and medical practices to refer patients to the pharmacy to get fresh produce and foods, and we have a nutritionist there to help consult them on A, how to prepare foods with certain produce, B, what foods are good based on what the clinician has suggested. And the third part, or fourth part of this, four-legged stool as I like to say, is that it is fresh produce, most of which we are sourcing locally from farms and through our partnership with FoodShare. So that's the special sauce of this food pharmacy. If one can think of their produce aisle or produce section at a grocery store, however, on a hospital campus with referrals from clinicians, consultation with nutritionists, and fresh local produce.
So let me ask you something. We're chatting with Greg Jones, 203-333-9422. Let's say, and I would be, for example, let me use myself as an example. I am pre-diabetic, which is a condition common to many people. I have something called polycystic ovarian syndrome, so I have a true predisposition to diabetes. And my nutritional prescription is more don'ts rather than do's, right? So it's don't have sugar, don't have wheat, don't have too much chocolate, have some but not too much and a certain kind. And then in general, what do I eat? Well, you know, your classic fruits and vegetables. Okay, I can get a prescription that this is my nutritional plan. In fact, I have a nutritionist in my life because I was told that I needed one. But does that mean that when I go to food pharmacy, that my grocery bill is going to be covered by my insurance policy?
No, it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that.
Okay.
What it does mean, though, is that we aren't at that stage yet, Leslie. I would love to think that we're going to get there. But that's second stage. Where we are now is that we have patients similar to the diagnosis that you just referred to. And by the way, I should add, my legal team always tells me to be sure you let them know that you're not a clinician. You're so passionate about this work. It comes through sometimes. So I want to be sure that I indicate that. But what we do is that we have in our practices, and I can use one example, a women hospital ambulatory service, which deals with women who are pregnant, who are under our care, we will have a clinician prescribe them, small p, on fruits and vegetables that they can then get filled at our food pharmacy.
I see.
Our pharmacy, we are providing, is complimentary and free to patients, and we will get to family and staff eventually at some point. But it is free to those people that participate with us and through the referrals that we get. And so they come with a small P prescription that says, this particular patient needs vitamin C, vitamin, D, whatever the various vitamins are. And then with our nutritionists, we're able to identify what are those produce items that contain those vitamins, those nutrients that the doctor wants their patient to receive. We allow them to shop, quote unquote, with their with this prescription as much as they want, as much
for
as
free.
They need, and as often as they need.
For free.
Free.
So in other words, if you tell a pregnant woman, you know what, this month we'd like you to have a little more iron, go over there and get some spinach, you're saying they can get the spinach for free.
That is correct. That is correct. It's funded through our own development office and support in our own hospital funds. And we're passionate about this because we know that a large part of healthy living requires healthy eating. A large part of how we live is what we put in our bodies and what we do to our
bodies.
Totally.
Are you kidding? We are what we eat. It is the cliche of true cliches. We are what we eat. I say it out loud and to myself all the time. It is true.
And we're trying to encourage people to eat more of those things that the doctors and clinicians believe are healthy for us. And if we can change with outlets like yours, thank you again for allowing us to participate. We can encourage people, even those that cannot participate with our food pharmacy, maybe it's not local. The other thing, we wanted to be accessible, so that's why we're on the hospital campus. But if we can just encourage more produce, more vegetables and produce in our diet, we can be healthier and we can minimize some of the diseases and some of the consequences that we suffer from some of the processed foods that we consume.
So, Greg Jones of Hartford Healthcare, can I make a suggestion? You're probably ahead of me. You've already done this. But I would like to say, first of all, it's a great idea. It's brilliant. I love it because it's not just about knowing what the right thing to do is. It's about the convenience and access. So if you already, and I love the example of a pregnant woman because pregnant women have to show up for prenatal appointments. They have to show up once a month, then they have to show up every 2 weeks, then they have to show up every week. So every time they're there, they can get literally into the habit of having this produce and using it. But there is a little bit of a disconnect among a lot of people that don't know how to cook. And I'm not kidding with you. You can hand somebody some raw spinach, but I would not automatically expect that somebody would know how to prepare it. And I'm just wondering if you have demonstrations there going on, if you make it, if the pharmacy, if I were to walk into it tomorrow, and I know it's only 1,000 square feet, but if there is some instruction that goes along with this produce.
It is. It is. Not live cooking instructions yet, but we do have a few demonstration kitchens on campus that we're working to get there for the demonstration. But in the pharmacy, we have a nutritionist who can then explain how things are prepared. And listen, I'm like you, Leslie. Someone give me a bag of kale. To be honest with you, kale is very popular. But there are ways that you can prepare it so it doesn't taste sometimes how it looks. And
right.
So preparing it, how you prepare it, whether it's olive oil, whether you're steaming it, all of these items, we need to learn and understand. And then also we have ethnic foods, right? In our neighborhood, in the Hartford community, we're about 25 to 30% of Latino and folks of Hispanic origin. And so therefore we have fruits and vegetables that represent their ethnicity as well, as long with other countries. So we're trying to be as open, as accessible, and educational as possible. But yes, teaching and showing how to prepare and how to consume these foods is equally as important as having access to them.
It is. And, you got to be saying, don't add a lot of salt. Don't add any salt, maybe. Whatever it is.
That's correct.
You can ruin a vegetable also. You can make it very unhealthy if you do it the wrong way.
That's right. Don't you love people go to the salad bar and you see them sprinkling salt on it? Like, what are you doing? You just offset, salad and someone is eating potato chips. You just offset all the things you tried to do good with your body by negating it with an additive.
Not to mention all the sugar that's embedded in our salad dressings. I mean, it goes on and on. The list goes on and on. So We're chatting with Greg Jones of Hartford Healthcare, 203-333-9422. This pilot that you have is in Hartford. What are you planning for Fairfield or New Haven counties?
Yes, so we have a number of locations. As you know, we have our Fairfield region, which is probably closer geographically there. And whereas they have had, individual hospitals have had a similar approach, not as robust and as advanced, I think, as we are when we tie the clinical units into the prescription and the nutritionist on site. But they have had a number of places have food pantries. Having a food pantry is common. However, having a food pharmacy where you focus primarily on produce and fresh vegetables and clinical referrals and nutrition is the step extra. So we plan to engage and to move forward with more of the food pharmacy type model across our institutions to help. And we don't necessarily need to be a hospital. We can do this at a number of other places. We're doing this with 1,000 square feet. So, you know, with passion, an idea, a model, a few engaged clinicians and a nutrition, we can make this work and touch a few people, and then that multiplies in terms of the messaging that we're getting out about eating healthy.
Yeah, I mean, really, it's got boundless applications, frankly, because, you know, the need is so great, you know, to understand.
Yes, it is.
And to have convenient food and easy food and free food. For whatever reason in this country, and we know the reasons, we have subsidized wheat and corn at the expense of our vegetables, and we've all paid the price for it. We've all paid the price for it.
Have.
If we could subsidize apple trees and asparagus the way we subsidize wheat and corn, we might look and feel very different as Americans.
And our healthcare costs might be a little bit lower.
That's right. That's right. So it's in everybody's long-term interest. And besides, frankly, perishable produce tastes the best. Let's not get away from the fact that healthy food actually tastes the best, at least for me. I like the taste of healthy food much better than I like the junk. I don't even like the junk.
I agree. We've programmed our taste buds to almost turn off what is healthy and what's good, and it takes a while to unprogram it in terms of what might be healthy and good. But once you start, you realize that it's a big difference.
It's a really big difference. Greg Jones, Hartford Healthcare, thank you so much. Please come back on the show when you're ready to announce
anytime
this kind of a thing happening in either New Haven or Fairfield County so that we can share that with our audience.
Will do. And thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. Greg Jones from Hartford Healthcare on food pharmacies. We'll be right back.
It's Howie and Ken from Spectre Furniture and Mattress Gallery, Main Street, Ansonia, celebrating over 132 years in business.
Spectre's mattress trade-in sale is finally here. You can't trade in your neighbors,
but you can trade in your old mattress for free removal. That's right, free removal when you buy new. Only at Spectre Furniture.
Flippable mattresses, too.
Trusted for over 132 years.
Spectre Furniture and Mattress Gallery, Main Street, Ansonia, SpectreFurniture.com.
And thank you for shopping local.
If you are a victim of domestic violence, the Connecticut Coalition Against Domestic Violence provides help. For someone to talk to, visit ctsafeconnect.org or call or text 888-774-2900. It's confidential, safe, free, and voluntary. And advocates are available for you 24/7.
Let Southern Connecticut hear what you think. Call 203-333-9422. The Lisa Wexler Show is back on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
203-333-9422. Irene from New York. Hi, Irene. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Hi. Hi, Lisa. I don't know if you remember, back in the 90s, you had a talk show on a Westchester station, WFAS.
Yes, but it wasn't back in the 90s. It was from 2000, and hold on, I'll tell you right now. It was from 2012 to 2016.
Okay, I stand corrected.
Okay.
Well, I would always listen to you on the way home from work, and this one day, I couldn't even stop the car fast enough to get back in the house to put on the radio. You had a talk in reference to medical schools and what they are not teaching these new doctors. I will never forget that. And you went through a litany of things, compassion, professionalism, so many things, and we are living with it now. There are a lot of good doctors out there today, but there are doctors who are not professional. I just had a terrible, terrible experience in reference to a breast biopsy.
What happened, Irene?
What happened?
Yeah.
They told me that I wouldn't feel anything. They're going to numb the breast and a little bit of an incision. Long story short, first of all, I couldn't even get on the table. It was so high. It's like when you go to your mechanic and they put the car on and you go, the car goes up. Well, that's what this was. I went up so they could work from below. I felt everything. I kept telling them, I feel it. But the worst part was, I was nervous as a patient. I'm a senior citizen. Never took my blood pressure. Second,
they didn't take. Wait, hold on. They didn't take your blood pressure before they began a procedure on you?
No, and mind you, I was upset because prior to going in, they told me it would be a 45-minute delay. And I didn't like that. I almost left. I says, no, I have an appointment at 12 o'clock, and I have to leave. They talked me into staying, okay? Now, the radiologist, the doctor who did it, she says, I'm very worried about you. And I said, why? And she says, this wasn't here last year. And yes, that's what I'm doing. I'm here for. And then she kept saying it, and I said, "You're making me very nervous.
What a ridiculous
you're
kind of
telling
thing.
Me that you know Oy. It's cancer, but you won't Oy. Let me know." She Oy. Said, "Well, I suspect that. Is that how you treat a patient never having this procedure before and nervous as it is?" So when I left, I was really upset, and needless to say, I got the results, and it is cancer.
I'm sorry.
I wasn't shocked because she kind of set me up for it, but I do feel you do not treat a patient, least of all a senior citizen, in that manner. You have no right to tell me what you think. You just do the procedure and try to calm me down and encourage me, and I didn't get any of that. I got more from the technicians, that the two that were there, than the doctor that did it. And I always remember and tell people about your show that day, because everything that you said was so true, and we are living it now, and we have been living it, and it's sad. They're not teaching them the proper way.
No, that's a terrible thing, Irene. Who was your provider? Are you still in New York? Where was your provider? Was it a hospital?
Yeah, no, I'm in New York, but I have no intentions of going back. In fact, I just picked up the report and the disc, and I have a doctor that I am going to that my daughter went to and was very, very nice, and somebody else, the same thing, very encouraging, very helpful, and that's where I'm going Friday. I am not the least bit nervous because it is contained, and it's all encouraging, thank God.
Thank God.
How important it is to go every year for your mammogram and catch things early.
That's true.
But I'm just very upset, and I don't want that doctor to do this to another patient. I kept telling them, I feel it. And then when I wouldn't stop bleeding, they're pressing at the wound to stop the bleeding, and that's when I said, no, come on, I got to go. And you know, they had to get me out of there. I was just, it was just a terrible experience, and I'm sorry. And it's not like everybody has it, but I had it, and I always think of your program.
Irene, I'm sorry that you had that experience.
No, I wish I could hear your program again. Do you have it?
You mean that one from then?
Yeah,
from
the one
WFAS?
With the medical,
yeah,
the medical
it's
school.
So, you know, it's funny that you should say this because we are doing a project, and the project is we're cataloging all of the Lisa Wexler shows from the first show from 2006. And I have an audio engineer working on it, believe it or not, since last September, because it's now 16 years of shows. And I think he's working on the FAS catalog right now. I will ask him. I will see if he can locate it. I mean, I don't know if we mostly are cataloging them by guest, not by every topic of every rant and every monologue that I went on. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because it's so hard to do. If you have an idea of the month of year or the year that you heard it in, then I could, you know, I could give it to you.
No,
at some point they're going to be available in a free or maybe subscriber based. I'm not sure what we're going to do, but a lot of it'll be free catalog of all the shows, because you know what, Irene? I've interviewed thousands and thousands of people now over the years. And it's interesting to me. I forgot half of them. When I go back and I see, I can't remember. I spoke to that one, this one, that one. Some of them are gone now. It's a living library.
That's understandable. No, that's understandable. But there's certain ones, and that one I never forgot, because going to doctors, and it's just a shame. And believe me, there are. I have a lot of good doctors that take care of me. But when I come across some of these doozies, I always think of your program, and they're not being taught the professionalism, the compassion. You are supposed to calm a person down, make them feel comfortable, do what you have to do, and that's it. Don't give your opinion. It was just unfortunate, and I'm not letting it go either.
All right, Irene. Yeah. Well, listen, the most important thing now is to focus positive energy on healing and recovery. Yes. And better people that will treat you with care and professionalism. And that's what we wish for you. And I'm glad you called in today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Irene. Okay, thank you so much. God bless. 203-333-9422 is our number. 203-333-9422. We're talking about care and health care and compassion. And, you know, it's so interesting because my Aunt Cookie is the person whose idea the kindness of strangers came from. And it's one of our favorite segments. We do it every Friday. And I think it's really a hit with people. People love it, and I love it. But one of the other things that Aunt Cookie wants me to do, tell me what you think about this idea. She wants me to do a regular segment on people's incompetency, stories of people that are supposed to do their job a certain way, and they don't do it. Because this is an abiding complaint of my aunt. She is every single day carries on that people don't know how to do anything anymore. And thinking about Irene's story, 203-333.